We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com. Thanks for listening as Pastor Stephen Hibden shares an encouraging word of God's love.
I don't know about you, though. I love Christmas. Do you love Christmas? I love to stroll the malls, sip hot cocoa, listen to the music, watch Hallmark movies. I admitted that last week, and many of you did admit it too. I looked across the room with your eyes closed, and there was many of you that raised your hands that do watch Hallmark movies too. And yes, we need to pray for you. But you know, as the song goes, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And even though I don't know what scary ghost stories have to do with Christmas, they sing it in the song, scary ghost stories, tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago, right? I don't know if I did it right, but they don't know what they have to do with the holidays, but I have to consider that the words, it's the most wonderful time of the year, sets this holiday or the season or your family or your emotions or your marriage or your kids or any, it sets it all up for a certain collapse, because there's no way that it'll always be the most wonderful. At best, it might be the most nostalgic. Now, it might be the most depressing. It might be the most overrated holiday in some cases. But often, I want to go back to the word nostalgic just for a minute. I thought it was interesting. I wanted to bring this up because I think some of us base our Christmas sometimes on just nostalgia. And that can be hurtful. That can set us up for a bummer, because the two Latin words that make up nostalgia are the words home or homecoming and pain. Home and pain. Homecoming and pain. That's the word nostalgia. It's the same. There's a word in hospitals. They use analgesic. I don't know how they say it, but it's talking about taking away pain. And if you base it on nostalgia, the season is less fulfilling than you would hope. It is because it's based on pain. And what you want that you really can't really have, unless you're a six-year-old, the very first time experience, and I haven't thought through this, what I'm going to say right now, but I kind of think this. Unless you're young and you're experiencing home for the first time, I don't think that you can ever experience that place. And some of you, home wasn't a good thing, but some of you, that's what you're trying to reach. And there's a lot of small reasons why that doesn't fit for us, but the big reason is this. This is the big reason. Because this earth that we live on, it's a great place, it's a wonderful place, but it's not your home. It's not where we are going to end up. We are made, we are created for somewhere else. We're not created for this place. We are here, and we are meant to be here for a time. We are meant to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ's birth and resurrection. But this is not our home for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. We will live somewhere else. You will live here for 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, maybe 100, maybe 120, I don't know. That's why celebrating Advent is so appropriate, because it fixes our eyes on our real home, and it sets us up to understand that Jesus is our Savior. It sets our eyes on our real home and a Savior who was not born to just be present with us in our trials, but to celebrate a Savior who is going to, at one point, take us out of them to live with him in heaven. Can I hear a... Yes, I agree, I believe, I receive, I admit, amen, amen. He's going to take us out of these troubles one day. And churches will use a whole sermon just on that preface, that he's going to take us out of it, amen? He's going to take us out. We don't have to live in it. We could just stay on that the whole time, and that would be encouraging. Turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We'll put it on the screen. One of the most, if I might say, famous verses in the Christmas story that happened to take place long, 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 long before Jesus was born. I want to ask this before I say this verse, before we look at this. How do we balance the pain when it's the most wonderful time of the year with the glorious prophecy that Jesus would come to be wonderful in our lives? Look at this with me. How do you balance the pain of the wonderful time of the year with the glorious prophecy of what Jesus came to be wonderful in our lives? For unto us a child is born. I know that song, and that's what I always say when I say that part of the group verse. It's a song. Does anyone resonate? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. That just makes you smile, doesn't it? I want to call this message, like I said, Blue Christmas, but I want to put in parentheses right in between blue and Christmas. Blue, nevertheless, Christmas. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for our remaining moments together. I pray that you would speak to us. I pray that you would say something to us in a different way. We've heard the Christmas story, a lot of us, 30, 40, 50, 100 times. And often it means the same thing. I pray that you would speak something new to us. Lord, I pray that you would comfort hearts in this room. I pray that you would be wonderful. I pray that you would be counselor. Lord, I declare that you are our Prince of Peace. I pray that no one would walk out of here today without at least grasping that peace passes, whether we understand or not, you still can bring us a peace. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask a very spiritual question today. Anyone here ever heard of a singer from the past? His name was Elvis Presley. Has anyone ever heard of that name? Some of you are laughing. You probably heard of him. A couple of you. Elvis Presley. He sang a song. I don't know if you heard of it. It's called Blue Christmas. Have you ever heard of the song? Yes, Blue Christmas. I heard that in the front row. I'm sure Elvis had a lot of blue Christmases in his time, and I'm not here to be depressing. But you can have all the stuff in Graceland. You know, gonna have all the money. I know you had a lot of money. And it can still not be enough, and your life can still sound more like Blue Christmas than Joy to the World. I said last week, theologically, if we could just stay on theologically for ourselves, it would work. We live in a place of hope in our lives because of Jesus' birth, life, death, resurrection. We have hope. But emotionally, physically, I want to ask you today, how do we balance that truth that we know when we're still up to our necks in reality? How do we do that? Let me say it this way. You might be dealing with a situation that can be overwhelming or have challenging memories from the past, while those around you are mistletoeing and hearts glowing. How do we embrace the wonder in Christmas in the middle of our worry? Or let me say it in another way, another question. How do we reconcile the joy of Christ's birth without living in the denial of our trials and our home away from home? How do we do that? I want to leave you with three truths today that we celebrate even when we are having a blue Christmas. What part of my notes was were not in here, and so I had to take a picture of it. So sometimes I'll go back to another notes here, and then I have some other notes. But I want to leave you with three truths. A blue Christmas celebrates this. And I'm going to take a long pause after this, and it might be awkward, but I want you to think about it. God is at work in the invisible. A blue Christmas celebrates, whether it's a white Christmas, blue Christmas, green Christmas, whatever. God is at work in the invisible. Amen. I like to talk. I don't like pauses. but I feel I'm just supposed to stop there. God is at work in the invisible. I want you to know that. Our God wants you to know that today. The behind the scenes, the places you don't see, the places you don't understand. God is at work in the invisible. Let me tell you something you already know as well. The plans of man, the plans of the enemy, the plans of your neighbor, the plans of your ex, the plans of whoever, doesn't matter who it is, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. The plans of the enemy or man or any other plans may make you feel that the enemy has won or that you have lost. They may make you think that you are a loser, that you've lost, that you're defeated. Notice I said they may make you think it. They may make you feel like it. But the truth is God is at work in the invisible, and the victory always belongs to God. The victory always belongs to my Lord. And the Lord of my life is not the devil. The Lord of my life is God. And I'm going to put it as simple as I can. When he is my Lord, the victory always belongs to him. It never belongs to anyone else. Amen. Matthew 2, verse 16. I want to read it for you today. Because this situation seems like the plans of man, the plans of the enemy belong to the plans of man and the plans of the enemy, and they were going to win. They seemed like it was going to happen. But let me tell you, and God will, he might use it all. He uses it all. He doesn't author all the bad. He doesn't approve all the bad. But I promise you, he will use it all for his glory. He will use it all to somehow bring good out of bad, light out of darkness. That's what he does. Somehow he does it. And it doesn't look like he's going to do it here, but he did. And Matthew was about a poor little baby Jesus was born. And then this guy, this mean guy named Herod says this. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by those three wise men or the four wise men, or we don't know how many there were. I've read that there was a whole group of them on horses. That's who they were. There wasn't just three. I don't know if that's true, but as they were, he was deceived by these guys. Regardless, Herod was mad, and he sent forth to and put to death every boy in Bethlehem and in all of its districts who were 2 years and old and under, because he wanted to make sure that Jesus was killed. What a bummer. This does not sound like a Christmas nativity story that I know. Does it sound like a nice one to you? Because when thinking of the key characters in the blessed birth of Jesus, we don't think of Herod as one of them. We don't look at him. He doesn't fit. He doesn't fit with the glorious birth of Jesus Christ. He's unlikely in the midst of the pain. But let me tell you, who won in that situation? Herod or Christ? Christ won. God wins. The Father, he's up there. Get on his side. He's the right one to be on. Enter Herod, a madman. He was crazy. This guy was crazy. He told his wife, I'm going to kill you so that you don't die before me, so that I'm not sad when you die, because I love you so much. It was said that Herod, his own pigs were safer than his kids. The joke being, not that it's much of a joke, but the joke being, Herod was actually Jewish. He did not eat pork, so he did not kill his pigs. But he killed three or more of his own children just because he was angry at them. You think your dad is bad on this earth? Well, yeah. We might say, God, what were you thinking? Sending your only son to this setting? Why would you do this? God's answer to us, and you know his answer. I'm sending Jesus to be a light in the darkness. And the world would never be the same, would it, when Jesus came to this earth. Ironically, in the midst of the cruelest empire the world had known at the time, well, at least Bethlehem had known, in the midst of that, Jesus would be and forever would be and still is being crowned in the hearts of men everywhere. Right in the middle of a king who wanted to be in charge, Jesus was still being crowned, as starting from a baby, in the hearts of men everywhere. Which leads me to my next thing we celebrate while embracing a blue Christmas. And listen really closely and write this one down, because this is a good one. A blue Christmas celebrates that God is at work in the invisible. Wait, I had some unique points. I had some unique points, and the Holy Spirit led me to change them. I really was saying the same thing in three different ways. And he said, you need to keep this very simple for the congregation and for yourself, for me as well. Simplify this message, because I want to make this clear. Truth very clear, the Holy Spirit said to someone here. God is at work in the invisible. That's my second point. No matter how you look at it. In the soil of evil, in the soil of sadness, I'm going to list some things. Grief, pain, tragedy, loss, disappointment. Whatever it is, in all of that soil, hope still grows, because God is at work in the invisible. There's a scripture found in John chapter 1. John was told the story of Christmas in his poetic way. John was the kind of guy that probably lived in Manitou Springs when Matthew or Luke, like the doctor, lived in wherever you want to say, the Broadmoor area. I don't know. But John, this is the way he talks, and he was my favorite. I like the way he talks about Jesus. He says this in John chapter 1, verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And may I add there, cannot stop it. The darkness doesn't even understand the light. Light cannot even comprehend it, but when the light comes, the darkness has no place, no place. Peter, I'm very appreciative of you today. We talked about Thanksgiving in the last series. I should express that, and I was watching him all over the place today working so hard, and was worship beautiful today? It wasn't because of Peter, because he didn't do great on the drums, but everyone else, no. You got the sound ready, and the worship team, you guys were beautiful. I loved this special, you guys together, the saxophone and the, oh, I'm just love this church. I am coming back next year, next week, coming back, Nate, next week, because I like it. Do you like this church too? Amen. I'm so sorry I get going, but the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, cannot stop it, not even Herod at the very first blue Christmas. Let me illustrate it through this. How many have heard of the winter solstice? You know what the winter solstice is? Do you know when the winter solstice is this year? December 22nd, 23rd? Somewhere around there? I don't know. I was just asking. It's right around Christmas time somewhere. Not that Jesus was born at the winter solstice, but it kind of paints a picture of our lives when it could be the longest night. It is still backdropped with the birth of Jesus came to this earth. Let me go a little bit further. You may be here today and you hate nighttime because your mind starts wandering. It starts being fearful. It starts thinking things that are illogical. Makes sense with anyone. Don't say yes, that's you. You might be crazy, but really we're all kind of crazy. There's a lot. When I start talking to people, they all say this. Evening times, nighttime, when they're in bed, they start to think things. It's an opportunity to worry. It's a time to be fearful of the unknown. It allows your mind to cave in. The winter solstice is right around December 22nd, 23rd. It's the longest night of the year. But you know what it does? On that night, it welcomes shorter nights from there on out all the way until it happens again. And so when you start, oh, I don't like it getting so dark and getting staying, it's not light anymore early. When I get home from work, it's already dark. Winter solstice celebrates that there will never be another day in the next year that is longer than that night. And the first Christmas included one of the longest nights of the year, maybe figuratively, maybe not really, but maybe figuratively it did. When Herod killed every baby under two, can you imagine the moms and the dads in their houses thinking, my baby is going to be killed today because it's under 2 years old? How dark that must have been. But that terrible suffering, and your terrible suffering, if you would consider it that at times, was backdropped, right, by the baby who was born to bring a bridge back to God right there. It was backdropped right in the middle of that with a baby who was born to bring a bridge back to God. And so is all of ours. And I'm going to ask my brother Roger. He's going to come up and play as we close the service today. But if you're in the middle of a winter solstice of sorts today, God invites you to hope again. Because from here on out, the nights get shorter and the days get longer. The sun shines brightly. Put yourself, I said this earlier today, but put yourself in those shoes in Bethlehem that they had gone 400 years without hearing from Jesus. They had read prophecies of possible things that they hoped to happen, but they probably, many people believed that God was gone. He was never to be heard from again. And then you hear the story that there's going to be a baby born. No way. God doesn't speak anymore. I've never even heard him. My mom's never even heard him. My grandma's never even heard from God. It was a dark time. It was the worst winter solstice the people had ever experienced. It was shaping up to be the bluest Christmas. Amen. And I know it wasn't Christmas yet. We didn't call it that then. But nights never seemed longer. But in the Isaiah 6 prophecy, when it came true, the immortal became mortal, divine became human, and the heavens were opened and will never be closed again. Amen. The third thing I want you to remember, and I bet you could figure out what it is, whether it's a blue Christmas, white Christmas, or whatever color, Christmas celebrates and highlights that God is at work in the what? Invisible. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, bring comfort in this room, all across this room. Lord, bring your love, send your love, send your peace, send your grace, send your mercy, send your forgiveness. Send your joy to this room, to the hearts of men, that they were enthroned you in their heart long ago, but remind them today that you are still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you still wear the crown, you still have the victory. If you are here today and your life song sounds more like Blue Christmas than the most wonderful time of the year, understand that it's okay, because Jesus has come to be your wonderful. Jesus has come to be your counselor. And if no one else is being ministered to, I am right now, because that blesses me. Jesus has come to be my and yours Prince of Peace in the midst of whatever you're dealing with. Would you repeat this prayer after me? And might be peculiar, but would you say it with me? Say this: even in the middle of the darkness and my longest nights, I thank you because you are still working behind the scenes. Would you repeat this as well? Thank you for the gift you brought at Christmas. That when we make room for you, you bring light out of darkness. Reagan, would you come up? Because you are my daughter, I make you do things sometimes. And there was a song I wanted to sing and I couldn't do it. And so I said, Reagan, will you sing this? And we're going to sing in a minute. Thank you, brother. be ready back there in just a second. But let me pray this over you. You can continue to play for a minute. We declare in Jesus' name, whether it be hurt, whether it be pain, whether it be trials, whether it be a loss of a job this last year, whether it be finances, whether it be a relationship problem, divorce, grief, health problems, sickness, whatever, all across this room, I declare that you have brought hope out of chaos, that you have brought peace in overwhelming situations. And I pray that you bring joy through grief and disappointment. And we know that because that is why you came, we can believe it. We can boldly say, we thank you that you are at work in the invisible. We thank you that you're at work behind the scenes in our lives and our families and on this earth. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. For all who wonder at the most wonderful time of the year, for all who eagerly wait in their blue Christmas for your second coming, and for all who search for answers to their doubt, be encouraged today that Christmas celebrates that light is winning. And when God is light, nothing can put it out. Amen.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you. Thank you.